Welcome to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Stock market, wealth, personal finance, value stocks. Invest in your life.
Welcome to a special episode of the Money Tree Investing Podcast. I'm Joe Saul-Sehy, and in just a second, we're going to turn over this episode to my friend Miranda Marquit. But before we do that, if you ever wondered if there were a way for you to make money on all that online chatter of the millions of investors on social media, well, guess what? Your wait is over because the Buzz Index uses the same artificial intelligence techniques used by some of the world's most sophisticated hedge funds. Those are now at your fingertips, and you can make their edge your edge. It trades under ticker symbol BUZ, and it gives investors like you and I a portfolio of securities that show the highest degree of positive investor sentiment online. We'll talk more about that at the halfway mark. But for now, if you want to check it out, head to moneytreepodcast.com/BUZZ for a link to the Buzz Index and more information. That's moneytreepodcast.com/BUZZ. And now here she is, Miranda Marquit.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. We're going to do something a little different. We're missing Doug. He is out celebrating the holidays. So happy holidays to Doug. But the rest of us are going to be talking about retirement and places to retire if you decide to leave the country. Where's your money going to go? And what you should think about if you decide you want to retire outside of your country. So we're going to do that. And joining me today, we have Linda P. Jones. Hello, Linda.
Hi, Miranda. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
Awesome.
Very cool. And Joe, we have Joe Saul-Sehy. Are you all moved into your new place yet?
Heck no. We don't move to Michigan until January because that's when you move to Michigan. I don't know if you know
that.
Oh,
right. Of course. Oh, I forgot. I forgot you were doing it the smart way.
Very important to think this stuff out because what could go wrong in January in Michigan?
Nothing, I'm sure. So speaking of getting out, this is kind of interesting. We found this article from CNBC. It says retire in these five cities where you can thrive on $37,000 a year. And I noticed that many of them are much warmer than Michigan. So Joe, let's talk about some of these cities first of all. And would you consider abandoning Michigan for any of these five cities? And I'll run them down real quick. We've got Quito, Ecuador, Panama City, Panama, Phnom Penh, Cambodia, Hanoi, Vietnam, and Lisbon, Portugal. So Joe, would you abandon Michigan for any of these when you're ready to, I guess, for lack of a better word, retire?
You know, back when I was going to college, I remember moving from Michigan to Charleston, South Carolina. It felt like I had moved just completely across the world. And what's funny is I look at these five places now, Miranda, and even though they're all over the world, I don't think of them as being that far away because even with my twins who are 23, one's in Seattle, one's in Kansas City, Cheryl and I are here in Texarkana for now. It feels like we can not just pick up a phone, but we'll have a Google Hangout where all of us will hang out at any time. We can play games together online. We can have interesting discussions. And it just feels like they're right there. So, you know, this idea that moving to these places might make me feel like I'm far away isn't like it used to be. That said, I really like the community that I'm moving to, and I like the community that I'm in now. Certainly, I could get into these communities. I know that, language barriers make it a little tougher. The fact that a lot of your friends and family are in a completely different time zone makes it tougher. But heck, if you haven't done a good job of saving for retirement and all you have is your Social Security check, the reason for the CNBC piece is that all these cities you can live on with your Social Security check and still live, you know, the life of a king or queen. So for some people, I think this would be a great idea.
What about you, Linda? What do you think about this list?
Well, I think it's hard to move away from friends and family. For me, weather is a huge issue. That's why I live in the desert, because I wanted to get out of the Seattle rain and get to someplace warmer. So I just wonder if people really need to leave the country in order to live less expensively. I mean, aren't there, you know, less expensive places in Texas or in Arizona? Isn't that where retirees are moving if they want to be somewhere less expensive? And, you know, that way you don't have to learn a new language. You don't have to have a long plane flight. If something happens to you and you have a health issue, you're not, out of the country. I just wonder if people wouldn't really scour inside the U.S. if they're an American citizen first before taking the leap to something international. What do you think, Miranda?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense because I, kind of as Joe was talking about, when you're thinking about where you want to retire, where you want to go, you've got to think about things like, well, is there a language barrier? Is there a cultural barrier? Am I comfortable being uncomfortable for a while? I was looking at this list and, you know, Lisbon, of course, really called to me. I was like, you can live in Lisbon for less than $40,000 a year. Sign me up, you know, because I've always wanted to go to Portugal. It's on my bucket list. And Lisbon, I've heard, is just so fantastic and amazing. And so Lisbon just seems so interesting and so amazing. And so then I was looking at some of the other the items on this list, and I was like, yeah, I could see myself visiting all of these cities. My sister did a charity mission to Quito, to Ecuador. She lived in Ecuador and Quito for part of it for several months, and she really enjoyed that. And so I've always kind of wanted to go there. And so there are some interesting things you could do.
It also says, Miranda, specifically with Quito, the quote here is, you'd be hard-pressed to spend $37,000 a year living in Quito.
Right, yeah. So the thing would be is, well, do you speak Spanish? And so that's kind of the thing is, you know, I start kind of ranking these. I'm like, well, I have some limited Spanish. I cannot speak any languages that would help me in Vietnam or Cambodia.
But you know what? That's not really an issue anymore. I actually have a friend who dated a friend who didn't speak English, and they used an app to communicate.
Wow, that's awesome. Also, I wouldn't let that language barrier stop me from visiting these places. So I would definitely visit Cambodia or Vietnam. I mean, pretty much I want to go to all the places and see all the things. So yeah, so I think it'd be interesting to give some of these a try. How would I live there though? I don't know. I'm even with Lisbon, I'm like, I wonder if I could make the transition, I guess.
Yeah, you know what? I think you would because, I mean, even back in the day, man, I keep talking about me in college times, but even back then, you know, back when I took a horse and buggy to college, my professor of Russian, I took Russian in college, said, the best way to learn Russian is to drop you in the middle of Red Square with nothing. You will learn Russian in a hurry if you're surrounded by Russians. We just got back from Germany. I didn't learn enough German going there, but by the time we left, I had picked up so many little, you know, necessary phrases, how to ask for different things. And I know had I been there just immersed in it longer, I would have learned more of the language. I've been to France, I think, three times, and I feel much more comfortable with my French now, even though it still stinks and I don't know a ton of it. But I also know that if I live there, I don't know, within 6 months, a year, I'd have some basics really down to communicate and make sure I got by.
Yeah. So that's a really good point. So these cities are inexpensive. And if you want to have that urban lifestyle to enjoy what's going on, one of the other things though, you'd have to think about is, you know, if you moved to kind of a place where it was really cheap, you'd also have to look into what kind of healthcare are you going to get? So that's something I was wondering about too. They were talking about number two, Panama City. It says many expats cite Panama's healthcare system as one of the best things about living there. So Panama City, at least, you would still have a really good healthcare system and access to good healthcare while you were there. So is that something that you all would think about as you're getting ready to retire? I mean, do you want to make sure you're in a place where you've got good healthcare? Linda, let's go to you.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something important to consider. I actually think I was in Panama City. I might be wrong, but I was on a cruise one time and I believe we stopped in Panama City near the Panama Canal. And it was a little bit scary. I didn't really feel safe venturing far from the port. And everybody had really big machine guns there guarding the port. Wow. And so it was kind of a different experience. One of the things that I think is a little unfortunate right now is that we just had that huge hurricane in a lot of the Caribbean islands, but I would love to explore the Caribbean as a potential place to live because I love St. Martin. That's my favorite island. It's half Dutch and half French. The Dutch side speaks English. So do a lot of people on the French side, but it really is a beautiful island. And, you know, unfortunately, it was just devastated with the hurricane. But some of those islands, including the Virgin Islands, of course, are U.S. would be a great place to explore. And I don't know what the healthcare situation is there, but I think that would be a fabulous place to live as well. I've been to Lisbon. I love Portugal. I haven't been to the other three cities, so I'd like to kind of explore and see what's there before committing to anything. But yeah, I think healthcare is important to explore. Is it the end all be all for me? Not really, because I've been really healthy and fortunate that way. But I know that as people age, and just watching my mom as she got elderly, the big thing was people tend to fall and then break a bone. And then there tends to be kind of a decline in health from there. So it definitely is an issue. And, you know, so is recuperating and having good people to help you recuperate. So I don't know. I think it's just part of the equation for me. It's not everything for me, though. What do you think?
About Panama City, by the way, Cheryl's uncle just got back from Panama City, and also a friend of mine, I think, Paula Pant from Afford Anything, her husband.
You think she's a friend or no?
I think she might be a friend. You never know with Paula. No, I'm very much joking. But I think that it was Paula's husband's dad, Will's dad, who lived in Panama City. Not sure, but I'm fairly certain that's who it was. And they painted a completely different picture of Panama City, both Cheryl's uncle and whoever the person was that lived there. I remember hearing a lot about just the standard of living being very high. The fact that it's the dollar is the currency makes it very easy in terms of knowing what you're getting for your money. And the fact that money goes a long way means that you can get healthcare at a much less expensive price. Now, in terms of quality, I don't know. But in terms of cost, where we have huge problems with the cost of healthcare here, spoiler alert, right?
Shocking.
Yeah, that's a whole different case in a lot of these places.
Yeah, I think Panama City is one of those places where you can get another U.S. or you can get another citizenship, I should say. You can get another citizenship, right? A dual citizenship. Isn't Panama City one of those that it's on the list of places people go?
It might be. I would not be surprised. So let's kind of switch gears a little bit. We've talked about places where you can make your Social Security check go pretty far. Now let's talk about places to retire that maybe your Social Security check won't go so far. This is an article from Investment News, and it's 10 countries where you should consider retiring. This one takes a look at 10 countries that have high quality of living and that are developed countries. It starts out with number 10, which is the Netherlands. Then it goes down to Canada, then down to, sorry, they don't have a like look at it all thing. These
yeah, Denmark stupid, is next.
Then Denmark, then Ireland, then
Australia.
Ooh, Australia sounds interesting.
Yes. And right next door to them, New Zealand.
Yep, next is New Zealand. Then Sweden.
Norway,
then Iceland. And then number one is Switzerland. These are all more expensive countries, but they talk about in terms of the health index, your finances and retirement, your quality of life, and your material well-being. And so these are all countries that are going to cost you more. So let's talk about this. Linda, where would you retire?
If I were picking one of those 10, I'd probably choose Switzerland.
Going straight to number one.
Straight to number one. I can see why they rate it number one. It's a very beautiful country. Been to many cities in Switzerland, loved it, and loved all the beautiful cities. I think it offers a lot of amazing things, you know, just amazing variety. I mean, there's Lake Lugano. If you want to be on the lake, you can, you know, be in Zurich and have just an amazing city. There's kind of everything there, and it's incredibly gorgeous. So I love Switzerland, and definitely that would be the top of my list. How about you, Joe?
The place I wouldn't move on this list is Iceland. Having been there, it's so remote. It is so remote that I might have a hard time living in Iceland. Also, I think, you know, that half of the year where you don't get a lot of sun, although Sweden seems really cool, and I've never really considered Norway. I know some friends have gone to Norway and they absolutely love it. The big thing about all these places, though, the very first thing I think of is how incredibly expensive they are. I'm like, wow, could I afford to live in these places? But looking at the quality of life and the natural beauty around you from these cities on this list, or these countries rather. I like those. I'd say my number one on this list would be either Switzerland or New Zealand. Talk about a little remote, but New Zealand is a place I think I would absolutely love.
Yeah, I actually was looking at New Zealand and going, oh, that'd be so cool. You know, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, I'm saving up some money and everything for, you know, when my son graduates from high school, I told him I'd take him on a cool trip, wherever he wants to go. You know, he's debating between New Zealand / Australia and just kind of chilling in the British Isles. He's trying to figure out what he wants to do for that big trip. Because, you know, we travel a lot. We go on trips. You know, last summer we went up, we did a Viking River cruise up the Danube, and he really enjoyed seeing these different countries. And so now he's trying to decide, what do I want to do for my big graduating from high school trip? You know, looking at that and trying to figure that out. And so I was like, oh, New Zealand would be interesting, because if he chooses New Zealand / Australia, both of those are on this list, you know, then I could get a little bit of an idea of what it would be like. So,
yeah. Yeah, I like that. I also thought about Miranda, something very similar, which is, what if I could maybe rent my house out for X amount of months, so somebody to cover the mortgage, and during that time, you know, use that to play test. So instead of living in one of these cities or places long term, live there short term. If I find a place with good internet, we can make podcasts from anywhere. So it's pretty exciting that technology could allow me to continue bringing in money. And also the fact that the sharing economy is so alive and well could allow me to also not take the hit on having this mortgage not being paid every month.
Yeah. And that's an interesting thought too, you know, like with what you do and what you choose to do, can you go someplace else? One of the things when we were in Canada, and Canada's number 9 on this list, but when we were in Canada, one of the things I noticed is that it was really good internet. So I was able to keep up with my work and everything. And the sharing economy is really very strong in Canada. And so we were able to find Airbnbs to stay in while we were there. So that was inexpensive. We were able to take Uber and Lyft where we needed to go. So that helped us get around. And then another thing that many of these countries on this list have is good public transit. So you have access to good public transportation while you're out there. So you don't have to worry about maintaining your own car, what happens when you have to buy it. Because when you think about it, something that's not on here and something that we take for granted here in America is gas. So gas costs a lot more in most of these other countries than it does here in the US. And so if you're driving your car around, it would be very expensive. But many of these places have good mass transit, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, and I actually love that idea that Joe brought up of being able to travel to other places. The whole concept of Airbnb and being able to travel that way and just stay wherever you want and have flexibility to really go and, you know, stay somewhere for a while. If you want to stay there for a year or 2 years and then move on to another place, you have that ability to be flexible and just be anywhere in the world. And I think that's a concept that is going to be more and more popular. And people are probably going to live that way rather than thinking about, where do I want to move? They're going to be, well, where do I want to live this year?
Yeah.
Right. That sort of a thing actually really appeals to me, rather than say, oh, well, I'm just going to move to one of these countries and just be there permanently. I really like that idea, Linda, of kind of moving from place to place and being able to say, oh, well, this is where I'm going to live this year. And then next year I'll find a different place.
I found though that we're more on the cutting edge based on what we do than I thought that I was. Like, I thought most people know when I say I need fast internet that we all have the same definition. I tried to work from the south of France for 3 weeks, and I also tried to work from upper Michigan for 3 weeks last year. And in both of those cases, the people there gave me a serious, oh yeah, our internet's super fast. I got there and it was always horrible.
And so that's the other thing I worry about, right? So we go back to our list of low-cost countries. And then you have to ask yourself, well, what kind of internet? Because I've actually talked to some folks who are in places like Mexico or some different countries in South America, where I've called them and we've tried to do like an interview, and their internet keeps like shorting out or it's too slow. There are some of those problems. So that's something you have to take into account, right? Are you going to be able to maintain your internet lifestyle? And I know part of this, right, is investing in growing your business and investing in putting your business together in a way where it can still generate income for you, even if you have to, like, even if you go offline, right? So when Joe and I go to FinCon, right, I don't know about you, Joe, but I don't do any work that week, but there's still income coming in from, like, my websites. And, you know, we have a sponsorship on this show with the Buzz Index. That gives us a chance, right? So even if we don't have immediate access to the internet or we're taking a break from the internet, hopefully we have things set up so that we can keep things going, right? I mean, I assume, Linda, when you're off in the Mediterranean doing TV shows, you like, you're right, you're not checking the internet all the time, right?
I'm not checking the internet all the time, right? But it's nice because with technology, with what are called autoresponders, as we all use daily in our business, you can set things up to go out on a certain day and emails get sent and things get done just like when you're there. So it's really nice. And also I use contract workers that are around the world, Singapore, Pakistan, and other places. And so I have people that are doing different things for me and continuing to do that while I'm gone, which is really nice to be able to take some time and have other people continue things on and take that break, but you know that things are taken care of.
Speaking of income and making sure things are taken care of, I alluded a little bit to the Buzz Index. Joe, let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, it's funny you say that, Miranda, because I'm sure a lot of people out there have wondered, what if I could be making money off the internet while I'm going around the world to all these great places we're talking about? There is a way. If you've ever wondered if there's a way for you to capitalize on all the people chattering on social media, check out the Buzz Index, because it uses the same artificial intelligence techniques that some of the most sophisticated hedge funds in the world use, and you can have their edge be your edge. You'll have that right at your fingertips. The Buzz Index is licensed to an exchange-traded fund. It trades under ticker symbol BUZ, and it gives investors like you and I this basket of securities that show the highest degree of positive investor sentiment online. What does that mean? It means they don't survey people. They don't guess. Instead, the Buzz targets the most mentioned large-cap U.S. stocks across the social media landscape, and the more active the conversation gets, the greater the reliability we know that the buzz becomes. And each of the most mentioned stocks on social media is given an insight score based on Buzz's proprietary analytics. And the 75 stocks every month that have the most bullish score, those then get included in the index. To check it out, head to moneytreepodcast.com/BUZZ. If you want to invest in the wisdom of the crowd like I do, the ticker symbol is BUZ. Doesn't, by the way, make it right for you because I invest in it, but I've enjoyed my time as a Buzz Index investor. But you can sign up for their email list. You can find out more about the Buzz Index at moneytreepodcast.com/BUZZ. I love the fact, Miranda, that we've got buzz about lots of different places here around the world where we can travel. I think it really starts off, I think, with Miranda, with what do you want to do with your life? You know, isn't it funny how all these money discussions end up being less about money and more about what do I want to be when I grow up?
Right. Yeah. And I think that's a big part of this, right? Is because a lot of the time when I talk about, you know, making money decisions, making financial choices, moving forward, it really does start with, okay, so what do I want my life to look like? And how does my money accomplish that for me? How do I use my money in a way that will actually accomplish that? And I think that's a huge important part of this. And as we're talking about accomplishing things and using our money, let's go ahead and talk about, you know, we've talked about some of the places you can retire for less money. We've talked about places you can retire that are more expensive, but how do you get to that point, right? So how do you prepare to retire in a different country? Linda, you're very well traveled. What are some of the things you would do ahead of time as you're getting ready to prepare if you're going to retire to a different country?
Oh, wow. Well, I'd have to make sure that I'd have a banking system set up that was very easy to, you know, be able to pay bills back home if I have things here to tend to. Having something that would work internationally and, you know, be very flexible would be number one on my mind, how to do that. I guess also, you know, having cashless ways to pay, like having the right credit cards that would be used, that would give good exchange rates, that would be widely accepted and safe in case they were stolen, easily replaceable. I definitely have had that experience where I was out of the country and had a problem with a credit card. That international credit card company that starts with an A was very helpful and replaced that right away. So that was an amazing experience to go through that and actually, you know, have it replaced on the spot. I also one time was in Greece. They had money issues in Greece where they were limiting how much cash you could get out of the cash machine. It was like $60 per day you could take out of the cash machine. So sometimes the country you're in can have money problems. And even if, you know, you think, oh, I can just go to the bank and take out cash. No, sometimes you can't. Sometimes those countries have limits themselves and are going through hard times. So I would just say, you know, number one on my mind would just be access to money and cash and being able to have access to money in different forms and making sure that it's covered, even though we might experience something that we don't experience here, and just having all your bases covered that way.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. I mean, you want to make sure you're ready for things. I know that I really like the fact that I have my finances largely automated. So a lot of my bills are taken care of automatically, and I have automatic things that move to different accounts, like different investment accounts. And so my money kind of moves around sort of without me having to do a lot. I just sort of check in on it. Being able to set up those automated systems, to me, I think helps a lot as you're getting ready, whether you're just traveling or you're going to be kind of out of pocket for a little bit, or whether you're actually preparing to move to a different country for a long period of time, whether it's like a year or the rest of your life. So I think that automation really helps a lot when you're getting ready to retire. What about you, Joe? What are some of the things that you think about as you consider retiring to a different country?
I think the big thing, and we touched on this earlier, is to play test and to join groups of people that live in these different areas. So I don't want to commit to moving to any of these places until I really know what I'm getting into when it comes to a longer than a week or two stay. Because being in some place for 6 months versus being there for 2 weeks is a whole different experience. So I want to join online groups of people that have done it, have been there before. That's a great thing about the internet is there's groups all over. I want to check out what really happens with my budget and my lifestyle when I go places. Get an idea for what the struggle's really going to be. Am I going to have problems shopping? Is it going to be easy to get food? And then I want to rearrange my portfolio based on when I'm going to need money. Because when I'm going to need money in Sweden or Denmark on one list might be a whole different thing than when I'd need money in Hanoi or Phnom Penh on the other list. I might be able to have much more of my money in long-term positions in the Southeast Asian countries that they listed as an example versus some of those really expensive European cities. I might need to move money in a spot where it's not so volatile.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense too. I like the idea of play testing. And one of the ideas I like goes back to what Linda was talking about before is, you know, travel around, go to different places. And I like the idea of, you know, trying a few places, seeing how I like them. And then kind of maybe you go back to something you really liked a lot, or you kind of make a home base. When I was looking at some of these countries on these lists, I was like, what would make a good home base? And one of the things I thought about was during our trip last summer, we stayed at this place. Well, one of the places we visited was Český Krumlov in the Czech Republic. And I really liked the town and it was fairly inexpensive. I saw that there was kind of a, you know, like a bus station, you know, you could ride to different places. And I realized, oh, you can get to Prague very easily, Vienna very easily, different German cities very easily. And so I was like, this would make a really cool kind of home base. And so kind of scouting that out and saying, all right, where are some places I could live that would allow me to like set up an inexpensive home base, but then be able to take trips to different areas. Some of these countries, especially if you go to these European countries and Switzerland, which both Linda and Joe liked, Switzerland is a good example. I mean, it's in a nice location. You can easily travel to different European countries. Everything's kind of close together. So that's something that I would think about as well as I'm getting ready and kind of play testing things is where's kind of a location where you could go do other things as well while you're there.
Yeah, that does make Switzerland very desirable because you're very close to all these different places, France, Germany, Italy, any of those northern countries. I mean, you're not that far away from any of them.
Right. Yeah. Which is really, really interesting. You know, I think another thing that you want to do too is take a look at what things cost and do your homework ahead of time. And like you said, Joe, talk to people online, find out what are their practical experiences with the costs of healthcare, with their everyday living costs, you know, find all of that out.
Yeah. And another thing is, you know, those books like Fodor's and some other travel books, Lonely Planet, they are so well done. Have you guys used those in travel? Because I've found that just for recommendations for restaurants or things to do, it is like having a private, you know, online group to help you. It's really, really strong recommendations. And I've just can't speak highly enough of them and just the research they've done.
I love them for the general idea, what the climate is like. And when I talk about climate, I'm not just talking about the weather. I'm talking about what the towns are going to be like or the different areas, what the general mood is, and also things to do. I didn't like them actually in my experience this last trip as much for restaurants. I found that TripAdvisor was way better than our guidebooks. And when I looked at the restaurants in a lot of these towns that the guidebooks recommended, they were not highly recommended by TripAdvisor people. And instead, I found other places.
Is TripAdvisor, I'm not really familiar with that. Is it an online?
It is. Yeah, it was just on our phone and I pulled it up. And it was funny because we read, you know, every day we relied on TripAdvisor for where to eat. I would look at the most recent. You can just rank by meal in a city. You can rank by the type of food that you want. But in a small town, a lot of these places we went in Germany were small towns. So I would just rank all the restaurants in town. And I would generally skip the first two because they were usually gaming the system, I'd find. You know, every online database has people gaming it. And so I'd look down two or three or four, and then I would look at their most recent reviews to make sure that lately they've been giving good service. And then I'd go to their worst reviews and I'd find out, what people that really hated the place, what they thought. And if the recent reviews were good and the most hated reviews were ones that that I could live with, I'd try those out. And we had a very high degree of success doing it that way.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I've done that with like Yelp. Yes. For local, you know, if I'm going up to San Francisco or something and I want to find a really nice restaurant, it has to be organic, it has to be that and this, and I'm having a meeting there and I know everybody has their food, you know, specifications. I found some really good restaurants that way. So that's good to know that TripAdvisor, you can do that internationally. And yeah, I found that to be extremely helpful.
Well, and with Yelp, Linda, you find the same thing. You know, the top ones are often people in the system.
Exactly. So, you're exactly right. Yeah. Did you use a guide, Miranda, when you traveled? Was there anything that you used?
Yeah. So when I was going to be an exchange student 20 years ago in Austria, I did actually get a small Lonely Planet guide to Austria just to kind of get an idea of what was going on and looked up some history and some places. But when we did our Viking River cruise last summer, you know, I didn't actually get a guide because we were on a cruise. And so they took care of everything for us, which is, you know, another thing to think about, right? When you're trying to decide where to retire and how to retire, you know, this was kind of a quick travel through. I wanted to make it easy because I was with my teenage son and we just kind of, it was more like a tasting menu of places rather than really getting to know places. And so we didn't actually look things up. So that's another thing to think about, right? Is what kind of community are you going to find? How much convenience do you like when you're going someplace and doing things? When I'm with my son, I really like that kind of convenience. Although, you know, when we were traveling in Canada, I made him map out our route, I was like, all right, you find our, you know, way on public transit, get us out to the Lego store. And then, you know, to the sightseeing thing we wanted to do and, you know, make sure you get us back to our lodgings. So yeah, so I did have him map it all out. Part of that too is like, well, are you going to spend a significant amount of time there? And I think having a guide really helps. But at the same time, one of the best things you can do to prepare to retire to another country or even travel to another country, even if you're just going to be be a nomad for a couple years, I think one of the best things you can do to prepare is have a curiosity and an open mind and a willingness to meet people. Because one of the things that I loved the most was we met a friend in Budapest who had been living there. And he met us before we got on our cruise, and he took us around and showed us like the non-touristy areas, took us to a very delicious restaurant where he ordered all of the food for us in Hungarian. So it was a very great experience and getting to know some of those places and really kind of getting that sort of local insider's view, I think helps a lot as well. So you're not just getting the taste of it or sticking with the touristy things. So having that, I think, open mind and willingness to try new things is a huge part of preparing yourself if you want to live or travel in another country.
Yeah. Cheryl, my spouse, is so much better at that than I am. And then because of her, we often get off the beaten path. And the more we do it, the more comfortable I get doing that. And the more I love it. I mean, when we were in Germany, we went to this beer garden in this town, and we heard we had to go because it's where all the locals go on a Friday night. We get there, the place is packed. There's no place to sit. They ask if we have a reservation. Of course we don't. The waiter kind of shrugs his shoulders and is like, no, can't do it. And then he brightens up and he walks over to these two guys at this booth and talks to them and waves us over. And I'm immediately going, oh God, I'm going to be sitting with some of the locals. I barely know how to speak German. This is going to be hell. And you know what's funny? These guys sat with us. They were just about finished with their meal when we sat down. They sat with us for 2.5 hours, and it might have been the best night of our trip, just learning the locals, what people do, what goes on in the town outside of the touristy areas. It was such a blast.
Oh, that's cool.
That is way awesome. So now that we've talked about this a little bit, let's go ahead and wrap it up and hear what's going on in everybody's lives and businesses. You know, we've got to know what's going on in these projects we have that are going to help us retire and live well in another country. So, Joe, what's happening in your world?
We just had somebody on the show who is near and dear to not just my heart, but I know Linda P. Jones's heart too. Ryan Serhant from Million Dollar Listing New York came on our show and was talking about selling like Serhant and a new book that he has out and teaching people, you know, even if you're not in sales, I think it's great to know how to communicate effectively and how to assure people, in his words, that they're making good decisions. And then also career-wise, this guy's done amazing stuff in his career. He sells $1 billion of real estate a year now. How do you get to that point with your career? We talked to him on Stacking Benjamins.
I am so listening to that episode. I can't wait. I can't wait. The guy used to be a hand model. I mean,
I know.
That's so amazing. I love Ryan and I love the show, so I can't wait to hear it.
And on that show, Linda, he's the one guy I actually don't get frustrated with. I always enjoy watching. Well, I get frustrated with him sometimes, but usually I'm on Ryan's side. When it comes to Frederick and some of the other guys, a lot of eye rolling going on here. But I heard from listeners it was nearly as good as the time when Linda P. Jones came on the show. So
you're so, almost. You're too kind.
All right. And speaking of Linda P. Jones, what's happening in your world?
Well, I talk about debunking myths about wealth building. From my own experience, there's a lot of myths out there about money. And again, I might not agree with every financial expert, but from my own experience, I share my thoughts and debunk some serious myths out there. So I think wealth building is attainable for anyone. And we talk about that. Miranda, what's going on in your world?
Oh my goodness gracious. So I've kind of fallen off a little bit. I'm working on my MBA. So I'm going to talk about, if you go over to plantingmoneyseeds.com, you can look at an article about how I am, you know, why I decided to do this, whether it's really going to help me make more money, and what kind of an investment it is in my future. And, you know, do I really need to do this? Why am I doing this? And some of the maybe non-monetary investments that come with higher education and moving forward with learning. On that note, thank you so much for joining us for the Money Tree Investing Podcast. As always, you can go to moneytreepodcast.com for more information about the panelists, to check out some resources, and to look at the archives of all of our episodes. And we would also love to hear from you. We'll be doing a listener letters episode very soon. So if you go over to moneytreepodcast.com, you can hit the contact us button and send us one of your questions. And we would love to take a look at it and perhaps answer it it on one of our upcoming episodes. So make sure you do that. And don't forget to subscribe. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher. So make sure you subscribe and you will have a fresh new episode delivered right to your device of choice every single week. And remember, no one will take care of your money as well as you do. So invest in your life.
Thank you for listening to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Visit us at moneytreepodcast.com for more free investing resources.